And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 87. This is Tom Harris in Chicago, Illinois. And you'll notice I didn't say beautiful Chicago, Illinois today, and that's because it's rather cold and damp, and it looks like it's about to start pissing down rain at any moment. But that's not to say that it's not beautiful out there, because that is normal Chicago springtime weather. And I've been here now for nearly 10 years, and I guess it's about time that I get used to this normal springtime weather pattern that we have here. But it is kind of one of those days that you don't ever really know whether it's going to rain or not. So I wasn't able to do my 3-mile walk today for fear of getting soaked to the skin, because of course I didn't take my umbrella with me this morning. But that is normal. So what do you do? It has been a really, really busy week since the last time I talked to you. And most of that was because of the weekend's activities. Now, as I've mentioned on the previous show, and as I talked about Saturday on the live show, we went to Anime Central this weekend, and this is an annual event for us. At least it has been for the last 3 years. This is my third Anime Central, and I talked a little bit about how everybody has something that they geek out over. And one of the things that Pete likes to geek out over is anime and manga. Now, I'm a manga fan as well, and a lot of the things that I read now in the manga field are because of Pete. These are things that Pete introduced me to. And the anime that I watch generally are things that Pete recommends to me. So through Pete, I've gotten to know a little bit about this, a little bit about the genre. And Pete has introduced me to the various sort of big name series that sort of everybody knows. He's sort of the one who keeps me from making a fool out of myself when talking to other people at the anime convention. And they mention something like, Naruto, and I have no idea at all what they're talking about. But anyway, this is, like every other ASEN, has been a very busy weekend for us. And it basically all started on Friday. The convention itself runs Friday, Saturday, and half day Sunday. And normally going to a convention, I would pretty much just go on Saturday. That seems to be how I've been normally to these hometown conventions, where I won't take any time off on Friday to go. But for anime, we always do. And part of the reason why is because Pete likes to go to a couple of the things on Friday evening. And we do like to get our bearings and get in there and get our badges and all that fun stuff and get situated, as far as the convention's concerned, before we start actually going around and looking at stuff. And usually at that point, if I were to wait until I got off work and then drive out there and so we wouldn't be ready in time. So it is kind of important, for us to be all ready. And of course, Pete's favorite events are Anime Hell and Midnight Madness, and those all both take place on Friday night. And then the Masquerade, which takes place on Saturday. So in this case, there's no exception. We got there fairly early in the afternoon on Friday, about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, and did our kind of running around and getting situated. And then at 6:30, the line started for Anime Hell, and we didn't go in line at 6:30. We had actually decided to kind of wait for a while and walked around. Now, one of the interesting things, now I talked a little bit about that Pete had bought me the new Pokemon game. Now, it's kind of embarrassing, to admit a 47-year-old who plays Pokemon. But to be honest, we kind of look at it this way. Everybody at the anime convention was probably playing Pokemon. And one of the things with the new Pokemon game that just came out, they have this thing called a Pokewalker. And what the Pokewalker is, well, it's a pedometer. And I think it's kind of a clever little gadget. It's a gimmick, but it's a clever little gimmick. It's a clever little gimmick that allows people to get points for actually being physically active. Which is kind of a cool idea when you think about it. Anything that gets kids out there running around instead of just sitting in front of the video game all day. You get points for the game by running around with this pedometer on you. And as you move around and as you walk or run or whatever, it puts points on the pedometer that you can then spend in-game to get different things in the game. So that's pretty cool, huh? Anyway, Pete bought us the new Pokemon game, I think about 3 weeks ago, and we've been kind of sitting on it, just kind of waiting for the convention, because we knew that we'd have to do a lot of waiting in line. So the day of the convention comes, and I find myself getting this thing out of the box and saying, oh, my God, you know, I'm going to be so embarrassed wearing this child's toy. Well, actually, it's a kind of a nice looking thing. If you didn't know it was from Pokemon, you wouldn't know that it was, you know, a toy. But it is kind of a nice precision piece of electronics here, electronic pedometer. And I, of course, wore it, as we all did. And the idea is that we're just going to, get points. You know, we're going to be standing up, walking around the convention all day long for 2 days. And we could rack up a few points. And that was the idea. We discovered after we got to the convention, though, that it does something else. You can actually interact with other people's Pokewalkers, which is what they're called. And you can exchange gifts with each other on this. And it's just something that it does automatically. You don't have to, like, gather anything in the game and then give it away. So we discovered, kind of accidentally, a whole different dimension to the whole Pokewalker thing. And we were able to not feel so silly, you know, being grown-ups carrying around this child's toy attached to us. And we're able to swap these various game gifts among ourselves with the Pokewalker. So that actually was kind of cool. And it does add a level of excitement there, because not only are you not ashamed to be wearing the Pokewalker, but you want people to notice it. And you will start looking for other people who are wearing them. And that creates a whole entire social thing that wasn't there before. And that's not really something that Pete and I are used to. When we go to these conventions together, usually we stay pretty much to ourselves. We don't interact with the people around us. We really don't talk to a lot of other people. We see what we want to see. Any interaction we do with people is pretty fleeting generally, unless it's somebody we know. And we really didn't know anybody at this convention. So it was interesting to have people coming up to us with big smiles on their faces to share, Pokewalker gifts with. And it was a nice social thing. We got to talk to other fans, and it was interesting. Now, if I thought about it, I could have plugged my show. I didn't even think about it while we were out there. So it was kind of a cool thing. And I have to say, I like the idea of the Pokewalker, and I think that anything that lets kids get exercise and be able to get game points for it, I think is a pretty cool idea. So that's just kind of how I think about that. So anyway, so the next thing we did on Friday, Midnight Madness, which is basically a collection of little short films, sometimes with an anime theme, sometimes not. And that goes basically from about 10 o'clock in the evening until midnight. And, there's a certain amount of waiting in line that you have to do. Yeah, because it's first come, first serve, basically, and you just kind of have to get in line at the right time. So, we wait a couple hours in line for this thing. And then immediately following that is Midnight Madness, which is sort of fan dubs of various anime episodes or anime series that are edited, and, it makes sort of a parody of the series. And in the case of this year, Pete wanted to see the new Slayers fan dub, which is kind of a lot of D&D in jokes. If you're not familiar with Slayers, it's sort of the D&D sort of thing. You have a warrior and a wizard and so forth, and they fight monsters in dungeons and so forth. And that's basically, that's basically Slayers. It's not exactly like D&D, of course, because there's actually a story and an ongoing story thread. But that was the parody. And it was a lot of fun, actually. And that was pretty much Friday evening. We got done at about 1 in the morning. But unlike last year, this year we kind of made our plans late, so we didn't have a hotel room there at the center, which is what we did last year and what we'll probably do next year, because it's a lot more convenient when you're actually there and you don't have to drive back and forth. Because let's face it, you get out of there at 1 o'clock, you spend 20 minutes getting to the car, you drive drive home, depending on traffic and so forth. Even at 1 in the morning, there's sometimes traffic. But, by the time you get home and get ready for bed, it's 3 a.m. by the time you get to bed. So it does make for a very late night and a very long day. If you stay on site, then basically you just go back to your hotel room and collapse. Now, one of the problems, of course, with doing that this year was that we got a late start. We didn't know that we were going to go to the convention until, you know, just a few weeks ago. So the other thing that kind of ran into ASEN here was the live show. I had already committed to doing a show, and I didn't want to take a week off really, really early on. I didn't want to take my second week off or my third week off to go to the convention. So I decided, okay, well, I'm going to do a show, and we did. So now, those of you who are not aware of the live show, and I can't imagine any of you wouldn't be aware of it, but the live show takes place on at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, every Saturday morning, which is 11 a.m. on the East Coast and 4 p.m. over in the U.K., on UnitedKingdomRadio.co.uk. So that's just a quick plug for the show there. Anyway, so I was really committed to the show, and I wanted to get up and do my Irish special, and a very silly show it was. But anyway, then immediately after the show was over, Pete came back over, and we went back to the convention. Now, most of our Saturday rambling was in the dealer's room. And the dealer's room, of course, is the huge open space there in the convention center, where all of the people who are selling things go, and they have, you know, their booths, and you go and look at stuff to buy. Now, I described it last year when I did a show on ASEN as being acres and acres of things that nobody needs. And I think that's still kind of the best description of it. And all things considered, I think we got away from ASEN pretty cheaply this year. I bought a few manga volumes, completed my collection of Dr. Slump, which is a manga that I like. And also just kind of wandered around, and Pete found a birthday present for his mother, and you know, just kind of shopped around. I was a little bit, to be honest, disappointed with the dealer's room this year. I didn't think that the dealers were selling as much stuff that interested me. And I just didn't, maybe it's because now I've been to three of these things. There really wasn't anything interesting to me other than some of the manga that I was looking for. And Pete got a couple of t-shirts and so forth. So he spent some money, but I really didn't. Anyway, that was that. And we went to a couple of panels during the course of the day. Like I said, you know, that's very unusual for us. We don't usually do the panels, but we actually had the opportunity, so we went ahead and did them. Now, the big event on Saturday is the masquerade. This is where all the people who spent all year preparing these gorgeous costumes, and like I said on the last show, a lot of people cosplay at anime conventions. Much, much higher percentage of attendees actually dress up in costume. And the masquerade really highlights the very best of these. And one of the things that they sort of announced fairly early on is that at the masquerade, they're going to do a world premiere showing of a new documentary on this Japanese rock band called X Japan. Now, X Japan would be very familiar to those of you who are in Asia, because they're a huge band in Asia, and especially in Japan. They're almost like, you know, the Japanese David Bowie and Beatles kind of rolled up together. Been around for years and years, were real trailblazers as far as the Japanese music scene goes. And they were doing a lot of things that Western musicians had done, like people like David Bowie and the Beatles had done years before. And they're kind of more hard rock, heavy metal band than the Beatles, of course. They premiered a half-hour documentary about X Japan at the masquerade, and that seemed a little bit weird to me, because really, I mean, this was the masquerade, and this was sort of the intermission of the masquerade. So we're halfway done, you know, looking at the walk-on costumes, and then you have part two that has people in costumes doing skits, and they decide in the middle they're going to throw in this half-hour intermission, which is you know, showing a documentary. And one of the things that they had about was that, you know, after this half-hour documentary, they were going to have Yoshiki, who was the drummer and lead songwriter for X Japan, on live webcam. And he was going to talk to us on live webcam. And they showed us this half-hour documentary. And it was pretty interesting. It was basically a big commercial for X Japan. And then they had, you know, Yoshiki come on the screen. And they were trying to talk to him over this webcam connection. And he apparently couldn't hear the presenter on this side asking these sort of interview questions. And eventually he just kind of got up and wandered away from the webcam because he couldn't hear anything. And a few minutes passed and they said, okay, well, we're trying to get this, you know, fixed. And they kind of vamped for time a little bit to try to give the technical people time to fix it. And it just kind of right at that point, they said, well, okay, well, yeah, we've got it fixed now. And Yoshiki walks on the stage. He's there at the convention. Now, for those of you who are into J-Rock, that's a big deal. This would be the equivalent of, you know, a big name like Paul McCartney walking out on stage. I mean, it was a huge deal. I'd say about a quarter of the audience who were on either end, where we didn't have a really good view of the stage. We were watching monitors, you know, big, you know, huge, like screens. Just rushed the stage. I mean, there was a level of excitement that was positively electric. It was just kind of amazing. Yeah, they all just kind of pressing for the stage so they could get a look at this, Yoshiki, who's something of a living legend in Japan. Who has, you know, done a lot of classical music. He's done a lot of rock music. He's, you know, he played for the Emperor and Empress for the, I think it was the 20th year of their reign. You know, the big name, well worth seeing. And, he used Anime Central as sort of a platform to announce that X Japan would be playing at Lollapalooza this year. Lollapalooza being here in Chicago. And he decided to, you know, show up at Anime Central. Now, that was kind of a weird choice, really. When you think about it, it's kind of a very weird choice. Because, really, the anime convention has nothing to do with J-Rock. It has really not a lot to do with the Japanese music scene at all. Other than the fact that there are certain people who are there who are interested in both things. So it would be kind of like, and this is kind of the only way I can put it, it'd be kind of like, say you're in Miami Beach and you go to a car show which is focusing on British cars. So say Triumphs and Alfa Romeo or whatever, you know, just sort of British cars. And Paul McCartney shows up at the convention to plug his next tour. It's kind of a bizarre juxtaposition of things, but nonetheless, there were a lot of people there, of course, who really got excited about it. And, I'll be honest, even though I'm not that familiar with X Japan, I'm not a big fan of theirs, it was still pretty exciting. And sort of almost a letdown to have to continue with the masquerade at that point. And, you know, he talked to us, he did a press conference live on stage. And, those of you who might be interested, there are plenty of videos out there on YouTube. You can go and look up X Japan. That's X Japan, as in the letter X and the word Japan. And see what they're all about. And anyway, X Japan will be playing at Lollapalooza this year here in Chicago in August. And I will be actually out of town, but Pete and his friend are going to go see it. So that'll be exciting. So anyway, that was pretty much the highlights of Anime Central. Once the masquerade was over, we were pretty beat. That kind of ran from, 8 in the evening until well after 10, and we were just kind of tired, and it had been a very long day, and I'd done the show earlier in the day, so we decided at that point to go home. And if we had been staying at the hotel like we did last year, we probably would have gone to some of the events on Sunday, but we didn't really think it was worth it and decided just to kind of chill out on Sunday and not really go anywhere. So that was the anime convention for us. And, it was pretty exciting. So I'm looking forward to going again next year because I do enjoy these conventions. And as I was saying before on the live show, it's really interesting when you find so many people and these large groups of people who are so passionate about something and they get so excited about something, even if you don't share it, it's almost infectious in a way. That makes you excited about things too. I never cared about X Japan before I saw Yoshiki. But maybe now I'll check them out. Maybe now, you know, it'll mean something a little bit more to me because I've had that opportunity to see him in the flesh. And even though he didn't sing or anything, it is an interesting phenomenon. And I can see it's obviously something people probably have written, you know, scientific papers about. But anyway, so much about the convention and the whole rest of the weekend, you know, Sunday was pretty low key. And that kind of brings me up to the present day, and I'm sitting here talking with you. So that's pretty much what I did last weekend. Okay, so if anybody has any comments, questions, whatever for the show, I do love hearing from people. The email address for the show is tom@tomharrisusa.com. And things have been pretty quiet on the email recently. It's been unusually quiet, actually, so any emails we get would be much appreciated. You can also join our Facebook group, which is the Tom Harris USA Podcast Community, and participate in the message boards there. Not that there's much going on there. I usually just kind of announce when there's a new show out and so forth. But with the new schedule, with doing two shows a week now, I've been quite a bit busier and it's been harder to keep the site updated. But anyway, speaking of listeners, speaking of people who occasionally email, Robert from Iceland has reappeared almost as though by magic. Now, for those of you who have been living under a rock for the last few weeks, there is a major volcano in Iceland which has been erupting continuously for the last few weeks. And we hadn't heard much from Iceland and from our friend Robert, but it does turn out that everything is fine with him. But something very disturbing sort of emerged this week when Robert wrote in to Chris Reardon's show. Now, this is coming on the heels of a couple of Facebook comments on my Facebook page from Robert, in which he suggested that me being a rationalist somehow has contributed to the elves causing this volcano to erupt. Now, those of you who know Robert know that he claims to be the king of the elves in Iceland. So I thought that was very interesting, but there was a comment that he made on Chris Reardon's show, which aired today, actually, today being Tuesday, where he said that the volcano eruption was caused by tickle trolls who he is feeding. Now, if there's one thing that everybody has to know about life, it's the number one rule of the internet. Don't feed the trolls. Feeding the trolls is like feeding alligators. If you feed alligators, they get used to humans, they lose their fear of people, and come to regard humans as a food source. And therefore, they're more likely to come up and chomp you. So the same is probably true for these tickle trolls that Robert is feeding. So feeding trolls is a pretty dangerous business. And of course, there have been some thinly veiled threats made against Chris Reardon and myself. Now, we all know that Robert is a bit, how shall we say, peculiar, but perhaps this is a sign of something more devious and some sort of darker force that's stepping in. Could it be that Robert is turning evil? I mean, just think about it. He claims to be the king of elves, yet he consorts with trolls of all people. I mean, aren't the trolls the enemies of the elves? Don't the elves fight trolls? And not only that, but he's feeding the trolls, the very trolls that caused this volcano to erupt to begin with. Something fishy is going on here. And I dare mention the very peculiar fact that Robert's Facebook picture has changed into an image of a Dalek. Could it be that the Daleks are controlling Robert and causing him to exterminate the entire human race by causing all of our volcanoes to explode? Somebody needs to call the doctor to get rid of those pesky Daleks and free our friend Robert. I'm convinced that Robert is being held prisoner underneath this volcano and that we need to go and rescue him and force him to come down the pub with us and have a nice beverage and discuss all of this. I think that's the only solution, folks. I have a feeling that I'm going to have to go to Iceland and actually take care of this situation myself. Now, thankfully, I do have the assistance of my good friend Winky and all of the lovely elves who belong to the ELF, the Elven Liberation Front, who apparently are based right here in Chicago. Now, I don't know that for sure. They probably have little groups of them kind of scattered around the world. I do think that this could all be evidence of a Dalek plot. So for future developments, stay tuned to Tom Harris USA, because we will always tell you the truth about these evil plots involving Daleks and elves and trolls and fossilized anchovies. At any rate, it's very good to hear from you, Robert. It's good to know that you're okay and that everything is going swimmingly for you over there in Iceland. And let us know if you're trapped under the volcano and need some help. Maybe you could send it in code or something. That would be interesting. All right, so it looks as though I'm not going to have time to talk about all of the things that I wanted to talk about in this show. But I will just kind of save these topics I have for the next show. And instead, I'm going to go ahead and mention a couple of new things that I have in the works or have coming up. Now, of course, I do have the live show, which is on Saturdays on United Kingdom Radio, which is unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. That is a phone-in show. So feel free to phone in. And if you're in the UK, you can actually call physically on the telephone using your mobile phone. Or you can Skype in at United Kingdom Radio, and that's at unitedkingdomradio.co.uk at 10 a.m. Saturday morning, Central Standard Time, which is 11 a.m. on the East Coast, and 4 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So that's my live show. Now, there's also a new Plain Dudes radio episode, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to post that on my RSS stream, sort of as a little bit of bonus content for you. And I didn't put this show together myself. This was put together by Scott Mitchell from Scott Podcast, who we all know from his contributions to this show, and also from some calls that he's made to the live show as well. So I do encourage everybody to go and listen to that. It's an interesting topic this time, which is about living in the past, whether the past is better than today, etc. And there's a lot of feedback from various people. Is a very interesting subject, and one that I've actually discussed on the show. And maybe next time I'll go into more detail about this, but there have been a few things that have taken place over the last year or so that have made me feel very nostalgic. And when I say nostalgic, I don't mean so much nostalgic in the sense of me wanting to go back in time and relive those experiences, because I can honestly say I don't know that I would do that. In fact, I probably wouldn't want to do that. There were a lot of aspects of what was going on in my life back then and so forth that I wouldn't want to revisit. But at the same time, I can look at pictures, and you know, the Facebook group was just created for an organization that I was part of, you know, 20 years ago. Actually, it was a little over 20 years ago now. And I was a part of this group called the SCA. Now, I've talked about the SCA on this program before, the Society for Creative Anachronism. And it's a organization that's sort of devoted to reenacting the Middle Ages without all of the negative aspects of the Middle Ages, you know. So you have things like chivalry and you have combat and, you know, fighting for the throne. And, you know, it's an interesting group. My sister is still very much a part of this, but I stopped, you know, being a member back in the very early 90s. But, you know, they've created a Facebook group, and a lot of the people who are part of this Facebook group are people who I knew back then. And I'm looking at some of the photos that people are posting and feeling very nostalgic indeed, and looking at those very familiar faces, people who are very familiar to me then, and not recognizing them now. Looking at pictures of them that are much more recent, say, oh gosh, they've changed. You know, I don't even really recognize them anymore. And that's part of living in the present, is leaving that stuff behind. And not, you know, not ignoring it, not putting it aside and that, but not dwelling on it either. You know, thinking of it fondly and not dwelling on it and not wanting to go back in time and revisit it. Because like I said, I don't think I'd want to. The past is the past. The past is done. You know, I tend to be one of these people who looks toward the future. And that's kind of how I am. Anyway, maybe I'll talk about that a little bit next time. Anyway, I am running out of time. Once again, if you'd like to participate in the program, the email address is tom@tomharrisusa.com. So thanks for listening. This is Tom in Chicago, Illinois, signing off. We'll see you next time.